Hello, I'm Craig Constantine. Welcome to the Movers Mindset Podcast, where I talk with movement enthusiasts to learn who they are, what they do, and why they do it. My guest today is Jamie Holmes. Welcome, Jamie. How are you this morning?
Hey, Craig. I'm doing well. I just got out of my morning cold plunge, and I'm feeling jazzed and ready to chat.
No, thank you. Yeah. Okay. So we did a pre-call and then we talked for a little bit and we have a short list of about 600 things we wanted to talk about. But I think the cool place to start is let's start with, I have this thing that I personally call my admin day, A-D-M-I-N, like administration. I have a thing called an admin day, which I happen to do on Sundays. You could do it any day of the week. I got it from somebody, I'm not sure who, some website. And I jam all the stuff that I really don't love doing, like the laundry or the lawn mowing or the errand running. I jam that all into one day. And then that's my day where I do what I call the schlog. I do all the sucky work. And I have a similar thing that I do around podcasting, which you've experienced because you did the, you know, hey, welcome, would you like to be on the show bit, where I do guest outreach. And I do that weekdays because people are around weekdays. And when we talked a little bit about process, we both have really strong opinions about how important that is. And Jamie's smiling back at me like, just waiting for you to stop talking. So I think what I also want to ask is like, how do you, I'm going to assume positive intent, Craig. How do you share that with people when you feel like that's actually their biggest problem? Like, okay, person we're imagining, you're really good at their particular circus art. Are you really good at silks? You're really good enough at those things. But you know, the hard part that you need to work on is this admin gunk. So like, how do you share that with people when you find that's what's in your head? Like, you know, you need to work on is.
Okay. Well, I'm going to veer off a little bit because first of all, I think it's hilarious. Like I personally think it's hilarious that you have one day a week where you do admin because I bang it out every day, but I operate at, as one of my friends says, Mach 10, Mach 3, whatever it is. And, I work very quickly and I hate admin. So I sort of do like power. I don't know. It depends on the day. It depends on what's going on in my studio, in my life, power 2 hours twice a day. Right. Like and to me, it's interesting how different people's brain works because if I had a day each week that I left everything till the end of the week and did it all in one day, I would be so anticipating that horrible, shitty day. So I can't do that. To me, I'm like, I'm just going to get it done quickly and efficiently so that it's like sort of a constant that just happens and it's not this big thing. And I sort of feel the same way about taxes because I used to do, you know, add up all of my receipts for the year, you know, right before April. And now I do it quarterly. And it's like a breeze because come tax season, it's all done. So it's my observation when you were first introing that is it's so different. It's so funny how different brains, you know, do different things in order to satisfy them because that sounds torturous to me doing it once a week. I'm like, no, an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 5 hours a day. So that like, for instance, I was just in Costa Rica running my circus retreat that I do. And people are like, do you never unplug? And it's not that I'm addicted to my phone all day long and obsessively checking, but I work every single day. That being said, I also go to the beach multiple times a day. So to me, sitting in front of a computer, getting my mate, which is, as you can see here, which is always right next to me and getting a little caffeine buzz on and just cranking it out at lightning speed. I'm like, excellent. It's 2 or 3 hours. It's super hot outside. I don't want to go outside because I'm going to burn anyways. So let's just get her done as opposed to the one horrid day.
You know what I mean? I don't think it's hard, but okay.
No, totally. And just like different strokes, right? So back to your question. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I hate it. I don't know anyone that really likes admin. Like, does anyone actually like admin? I don't believe anyone does, but I feel, I don't know, maybe some folks not see the value in it, but see the importance of it more. So are more efficient with it. And I feel like, and maybe this is a statement that is completely incorrect, but people that own their own businesses, small businesses, whatever, know the importance of it, right? So they're like, must get it done, because getting this done in a timely manner, especially in today's day where everything needs to be instantaneous, is advantageous to the people on the other side that want to pay you, hopefully, the big dinero. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, sometimes and I think personally, that connection, like how far is it from I did the heavy lifting, you know, like I did the laundry and then I have clean clothes. Like it's really like an instant gratification kind of thing. And I do that with guest outreach. I'm like, I send messaging and I'm reaching out to people every day. And yeah, sometimes it takes, the record is like, I think 5 years from when I start talking to someone until I actually get a conversation recorded with them. But I've waited for people to like, you know, do 9 months of pregnancy, give birth, wait a year. And then okay, now we can do the conversation.
Yep.
But I do the work every day. And then other people who I've been talking to for previous months, they show up. And somehow in my head, I've connected like the pleasure of getting to talk to Jamie on a random, random Wednesday morning is somehow connected to the work I did this morning for half an hour, which had nothing to do with Jamie. It had to do with all these other people that I've like weird, like, oh, scheduling conflicts and stuff. So I think that to me is, you know, when I see somebody who I think is struggling with that admin stuff, I'm like, well, how do you make the admin stuff feel like it's not admin? Make it feel like it's the cooks call it mise en place. Like, yeah, I'm chopping onions. It makes me cry, but I'm about to cook with them, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, my computer cover is sparkly, so maybe that helps, but probably not. I don't know. You know what? And it's one of those things too, that I think it's different people operate at different speeds. And you have to be, I think you need to understand that. And I mean, I have learned, and I am by all means not perfect with this, but in working with people, managing people, I mean, humans are different, which makes them wonderful, but they're different in the way that they do things. You know, I have teachers of mine that, you know, I need to message on certain platforms because those are the platforms that they tend to like, and they get back to me the quickest on. And because I operate at a quick speed, I prefer that. Like I want to do it, get it done, move on. Like that's me. Whereas I know others like to think about it and they like to linger. They like to ensure that it's all good and then they'll get back. So it's dealing with people. And I read a book once. It was very interesting to me the title's catchy, but it's not what it's actually about. It's called Surrounded by Idiots. And it basically, some guy did some big study, and I'm probably making like a horrid description of it, but basically categorize people into four different colors: red, blue, green, yellow, I believe. And people are not necessarily that one personality color. They're mixes of everything. But someone recommended it to me because it's useful for people that manage people to understand how and why different people operate differently. And it was very interesting to me, like very interesting, because I know my way and I know what I like and I know what speed I like it at. And that is super off-putting to other people. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
as the opposite would be to me, right? So it's learning to sort of understand, oh, that's why they do that. Like that's how their brain works in order to get to the point that I want them to be at now, because I'm impatient, right? And that to me makes me more calm, because that, I don't know, to do is off my checklist. Whereas, you know, the perfect example is you doing your, what do you call it? Your sludge admin day, what did you call it?
The work that's a schlog.
Schlog, sorry, that's much schlog. Better. It's not sludge.
Although that would kind of work too.
Yeah, totally. So it's just, you know, different folks, which makes everyone very unique and interesting.
So let's give people some context. Tell me about It's Circus Fix. Tell me about, because you've mentioned instructors that you're working with and you've mentioned students that you're teaching. Let's give people some context. So, because what I want to ask, but I feel like we need context. What I want to ask is, how has your growth and understanding of like how to work with people who have different preferences, how has that helped you like when you teach and when you work with new instructors? So, okay, let's do the, tell me about Circus Fix. Tell me, why am I talking? Who are you? What is going on here?
For sure. So I actually started out as a dancer. I became a professional dancer. I went to a musical theater college. I definitely do not sing, but I pretended I did for a long time. And before that was a competitive gymnast, worked on cruise ships, worked in Las Vegas, all that amazing fun stuff, and then found aerial circus arts, which was sort of the perfect mix of dance and gymnastics. And at that time, when I found it, it wasn't as super, super popular as it is now. And all throughout my professional career, I taught. So I started teaching dance, assisting, you know, in my teens. And then when I moved to Toronto from British Columbia, Canada, and went to school and became a professional, I was teaching, right? I would teach dance, I would teach fitness. I've taught all the different types of fitness. So within that, kids, adults, all different levels. I've worked with people for forever. And circus arts sort of became the leader in my life. I became a professional aerialist, which is excellent. Started teaching more circus. And now at this point, I own my own circus studio called The Circus Fix. I have, how many people do I have teaching at my space? I'm not even actually sure, but I would say it's like just over around 20, give or take any given time, plus people that do different roles. So I don't know, maybe between 20 to 30, maybe I'm overshooting a little bit, but in context to what you said, I've worked with people for many, many years as well. I had an entertainment company. So hired out performers for corporate events for, I think that was around 11 years with a business partner of mine. So have always been in the realm of arts, fitness, entertainment on both ends. So managing plus performing, plus hustling, plus doing admin, all the things.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that people who come to you and want to, I want to say, like, do the thing, so they're interested in a particular one of the circuit arts or the particular aerial silks, or they come at you like, oh, I want to learn how to do something. Do they often, like, later realize that they also might want to be the admin side of that? Like, it seems to me like if you get really good at a circus art, then it's a natural progression to be like, hey, can you do this thing on Tuesday? Oh, no, I'm booked. But you know what? Here, call my friend. Like, suddenly you become like this networker. And then the next level is to begin like scheduling those other people. I'm just wondering how many people who come at you and are interested in a particular art, how many of them seem to blossom into also wanting to be on the other side?
I mean, I don't know many performers that are like, I want to wear sparkly costumes and do all the crazy athletic circus stuff, but I also want to sit in front of my desk for 5 hours a day. Like, I don't think I can actually name one person that would like to do that. But what I can attest to, because I've worked with people from a like manager to managing my teachers to hiring people for events, there are folks that are extremely talented, but not as easy to work with because the importance to, I don't even know, and I don't know if it comes from an importance thing, but just an efficiency, I guess, of doing their admin is not as good as others. And I will say, you know, and that can relate to everything. And truthfully, I support people that are like, I don't want to be on social media. I hate it. I hate promoting myself. I don't want to, which I'm like, yeah. I mean, why should you be forced to do that?
Yes, I agree.
The people that are, you know how to work that, know how to get back to people on time, know how to send proper invoices, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I think anyone that is hiring someone in any job, I'm not even just talking about from my standpoint, it's easier to work with that person. Like, you want to work with people that are easy to work with. That being said, sometimes do I have to go, hey, actually, if you can do this way, because this is the way I prefer. Oh, you don't know how to invoice? This is how you invoice. Here's a template, for example. Happy to do that. But when you're correcting it like 10 times every single time, it's a thing, especially, you know, I come at it from I'm owning a small business and I'm wearing all the hats, literally, because unfortunately, there is no money for the HR person and then they're this person and then they're this person.
That's a different scale, right?
Yeah. So it's one of those things that if you're taking up way more of my day and not, you know, rising to the occasion on your own or like asking for help and then like, okay, I got it, now moving on. But if it's every single time that I'm spent, like, it's there's a preference to work with people that make your life easier. Do you know what I mean? That are professionals, yeah. know what they're doing. Yeah. And it's not to say that I would never hire newbies. I do all the time. And, you know, you need to like hold hands for a bit, walk people through, help them out, which everyone starts somewhere. So I'm always happy to be like, oh, you're keen and eager. Let's do it. Here are the ropes. Let me know if you have any questions, open lines of communication. But if it's been 3 years and we're still like, you know, chugging along real slow, that becomes another thing, right?
Social media is challenging. I mean, obviously, but I don't know, this is the closest I'm going to get to being like Mr. Humbug negativity. It's like 1,000+ people. I'm on, you know, like I'm going onto Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn, and I'm looking for someone. Like, oh, somebody mentioned this person and said they'd be a good guest for one of the shows, and I'm going and looking. And the basic, you know, rule of thumb is people don't respond, and it's just like, you know, they're everywhere. You know, one person is on all the platforms, and I'm like, you know, you don't need to be on all the platforms. Somebody who's looking for you, somebody who wants to hire an aerialist, or somebody who wants to ask you to be on their podcast or wants to help you do your book junket, they're looking for you. Just be somewhere and then make sure it works. The number of times I am the person who tell people, you know, your website's completely broken, like your domain name didn't get registered, or like I submitted your contact form that you have in the annoying pop-up box. I submitted it. I got an error. You know, I'm like, I find all that stuff every day. And it just occurs to me, like, I'm not judging people. I'm saying somehow we all got sold this idea that we're supposed to be everywhere. So you need a website with an email form, and I have to be on email, then I have to be on TikTok, and then they have all these things. And I'm like, you really could just walk away from all of it and pick any one of them. Mm-hmm. And the Craigs of the world or the Jamies of the world will go like, are you on IG? No. Are you on Facebook? No. Are you on TikTok? Oh, here you are. You know, like, I'm happy to go wherever you want to be, but just please be, you know, have that be functioning. And I think that's a huge, that's like a huge thing that people don't think about, that it, you know, we all say I'm a jack of all trades, therefore I'm a master of none. Like, we all know that lesson about dividing our efforts, but somehow when it comes to being available or trying to communicate, we still fall for the, oh, I have to have everything. And I'm like, okay, Craig, I have everything. I'm on like 15 different platforms because I need to go. Where does this person, like, I like have a thing. I go around every day and I check all my messages, but that's because I'm trying to reach out, you know, cold outreach to people. People who are like yourself, I think I submitted your website contact form. And I was just like, let's see if this works. And I hit the button. It worked. Like 10 minutes later, she emailed me back. I'm like, whoa, oh, not only does it work, but you're on it. So I think what I want to say to people is, if you're really trying to gain attention, you don't have to be everywhere. Just pick one place to be and just do that well. And the people who are looking for you, they'll find you. They'll be like, that's awesome. Hey, click.
Yes. So. Yes. And I feel like, I mean, again, I like to work quicker maybe than the average bear, but you know, there's usually a time frame that you know, people like me, I'm assuming people like you, like people to get back with it. Do you know what I mean? And it's a thing that, I mean, maybe it's because we're old farts, but the getting back to someone.
You know, your average bear comment. I was like, whoa, dated yourself. Whoa.
It's fine. I don't care. I am not a millennial. But I don't know. And it might just be a me thing. But I like getting back to people. Like, even if it's like, hey, thanks, but no thanks. No worries.
Yeah.
Because I you know, I get that when I send out, you know, big mass emails, I'm like, please confirm receipt. And it's like, I'll maybe get 2 out of 20. And I'm like, but did you get it? Just let me know. Like, it's one word. Just let me know, so that I know that we're good and I'm not like poke, 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 which I know is super annoying.
You know, I sometimes like to just, you know, pro tip people listening. I've started, okay, a while ago, I started, when I do really cold outreach, I often end the little whatever. First of all, I never send URLs. If I'm doing the initial message, I never send a URL to anything because all the filtering engines rip that out. And it's just, that feels like too big of an ask for me to have people click on a thing. So I often just say like, hi, I'm Craig. This is the thing. Would you like to do a conversation? Blah, blah, blah. And then I say like, happy to explain more. Also happy to honor a, and then in the quotes, no, thank you. And the number of people who instantly respond, no, thank you. And then I don't even say no problem. Like, I just, that's it. You never hear from me again if you say no, thank you. That actually made a big difference. Cause I think people, when I ask them stuff, I mean, it's an ask. I'm like, hey, would you want to spend some time meeting this new person and talking and doing a thing? But just being honest about like, I also understand that you may just, for whatever reason, want to say no thank you. Just that, I think that strikes people as unusual when I say, if you say no thank
you. I will
you.
Attest to that. I was like, oh, well, isn't that sweet?
Right? Because I love it because then I could just cross you off. Like, no problem. They declined, you know?
Totally. And then you're not like lingering going, do they want to? Do they not? I don't know. Yeah.
17. Totally. Hey, did you get my last message?
Yes. And then they're like, oh, the Lord. Yes.
Yeah. I have a two and out. I only do it twice. If I'm in the same meeting, I'm like, hey, yeah. I only say, did you get my last message? I'll say that once. And then after that, I leave people alone. Because if you want to ghost me, I would like to honor that too. You know?
Yep. Yep. Totally. And like we discussed sort of pre this recording, you know, everyone is way busier than they used to be and just overstimulated and distracted, like not 100%, but like, and I mean, myself included, I'm not saying the rest of the world except for me. So it's, you know, stuff sort of gets buried and lost if there's not like a tight system happening. So,
yeah,
you know.
I've heard people, we're going to do a whole episode about scheduling and admin stuff. Just turn left if you want to turn left. I've heard somebody, I forget who, I try not to drop names because I hate to make a reference and get it wrong because then people go searching and they'll never find it. But somebody big and famous said something crazy like, I will not schedule anything more than 6 weeks out. He's like, including friends' weddings. If you tell me you're getting married in August, I'm not saving the date. He said, because what happened to him was everything just filled up. And he was just like every weekend for the rest of forever had something on it. And he's like, I couldn't do anything spontaneous anymore. So I'm like, okay, that's a little crazy. But for a while I tried this. I didn't let people schedule podcast recordings more than 9 days out, which is like most people just went, what? Like they can't, like I can't do anything within 9 days. And what happened was my hit rate went way up. People went, let me think about that. And then like a little bit, like a couple weeks later, I'd be like, hey, would you like to? And then eventually they would say yes. And it'd be like tomorrow or the next day. Huh. And there was something about that being more spontaneous worked for them. Now I'm not running a business. I'm not trying to like get customers. This doesn't work if you're selling classes, but it worked for this idea of like, hey, I want to have a spontaneous conversation with someone. Let's not schedule it 6 months in advance. So,
and people are last minute. I will confirm that with regards to circus classes. My main studio is drop-in based, i.e. you buy a class pass and then you sign up. You have to sign up before the 2 hour window before class starts. And I mean, I can look at the schedule in the morning and everything is empty. And then come that window, which I mean, it's a
popcorn.
Annoying to me.
They all show up.
But I also understand because, you know, Sundays are my yoga days and I will schedule myself in probably the night before, but I know the window that I have to cancel in order to not lose it because who knows how I'm going to feel that day. Because some days you're like, yeah, I'm ready. And some days you're like, I'm so tired. So I get it. I totally get it. But it is slightly annoying.
Okay, there's like 599 more things that we could talk about. We could talk about hips. We could talk about, I kind of want to talk about the sun and being outdoors more.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of drawn to the whole, like, as somebody who I've seen, like, kind of working from the beach, like, not literally working on the beach, but like working, oh, this is the minute to go to the beach and this is the minute to sit in the shade and do my homework. I kind of feel like we could talk about being outdoors because circus arts doesn't feel like it's mostly an outdoors thing, is it? I mean,
they can suspend aerials on a tripod. So we have a studio here, but when I do my retreat, for instance, in Costa Rica or even in, I'm going to Greece in May to do a retreat there again. Ooh, which is
congratulations.
Amazing. Yeah, it's super fun. The Costa Rica one is an outdoor open air studio, which is, I mean, perfect.
It's nice.
Super humid, super hot, but it's covered. We do it at, you know, midday. So there's like a nice gentle breeze, but we are shaded from the hot, hot sun. Greece is right outside. Like there's no covering. So we usually do, if I recall, because the last time I went was about more than 5 years ago, actually. 7 years ago, I think. We did the classes in the morning, like sunlight, but not, you know, midday.
Not broiling, right?
No, not broiling. And I mean, I'm a redhead. And as you know, I was diagnosed with melanoma 12 years ago. So I don't think it's because of the sun. I believe I indulged too much in the sun, which probably had like a part in it. I burnt too many times when I was younger. But I mean, for instance, when I'm in Costa Rica, we go to the beach, which I know sounds probably quite crazy to most people. We're on the beach at 7:30 a.m. But keep in mind, it's bright light, you know, very early there. And we're done by 9:30, I would say, because 9:30 is getting pretty darn hot. And then we go back around, you know, in between 3:30, 4:30 until sunset, which is about 6. And that's good. I mean, and I'm a redhead, but I'm a redhead that can tan, and I come back with a sweet tan after being in Costa Rica, you know what I mean? But I'm not, you know, fried crispy by any means. I mean, I will not go out on the beach after 10 a.m. Like I just won't. It's too hot, and I love the heat, but the sun is too hot. Hmm. It feels sort of dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but even if you're in the shade, you still have your toes in the sand. One still has one's toes in the sand. I don't live near a beach. Beach is minimum 2 hours drive for me, but I still do that occasionally. I go and I bring a beach umbrella and I sit there and I put my toes in the sand and there's the sound of the surf, and I've been to the Caribbean many times and there's something. I'm standing barefoot. I'm standing on carpeting.
Well, you're
I'm
grounded, right? So you're
it's carpet,
getting all that good stuff.
Yeah, but I do that. I generally walk around barefoot all day long, inside, outside.
Oh yeah.
And there's just that idea of, okay, it's like, if you're in your house all the time, then you're in a controlled environment, and maybe it's comfy, maybe it's not, but it's like artificial. And then just the idea of like, it's getting hot. Maybe we should move off the beach and into the shade. That forces you into a different cycle. That forces you into this, like, being aware of what's going on and then making decisions about yourself based on what's actually happening. And how do these people with me feel right now? And I think that's part of, so, you know, Mover's mindset is supposed to be about like movement's purpose, the philosophy of movement. And I think when I sit at a desk too long, this happens to me, I forget all those other cadences. You know, the cadence just becomes ding, email, and then ding, I'm going to do the same thing, and then I do it.
Yeah.
But when I go outside, it's like, what's going on? Oh, it's breezy. You know, and suddenly I slow down or I speed up, or I tend to be more
mindful,
expansive. Yeah, more mindful and expansive when I go outside.
I mean, and there's so many other things about being outside that are just so beneficial to your health in general, i.e. the sun's rays on your eyes, the vitamin D, grounding in the sand, I would go for an hour walk on the beach every single day to sort of start out the day. And it's like, you know, you're listening to the waves, you're seeing the beautiful dogs running all over the beach, and it really chills you out. And I never bring my phone to the beach, just like I never bring my phone on a walk with my dog Pepper, because that's my, you know, I do my meditation in the morning, but that's my daily meditation. And it's very grounding.
Yes.
It's very, you know, zenful. And I think it's really important. And I think it's one of the reasons that when people go on vacations and they're, you know, whether it be somewhere in a forest in Canada in a cabin or on a beach, they just feel so much better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's very centering. Which is important.
Book. You mentioned melanoma. I almost want to say congratulations for being in remission. But I don't know if that's actually a thing you say with melanoma, like if it works like that. But just, you want to tell me what was the title of the book? And because that's a whole other thing we could talk about is the book itself.
So I wrote a book. It's called Carrots, Coffee, Cancer. Because I was diagnosed with melanoma. I had a mole. It's the story is all in there. I tried to take a bit of a heavy topic and make it, you know, an interesting story because to me, the interesting factor is that I did not do any traditional anything. I did this all holistically with obviously the guided help of my amazing practitioners in order to heal myself. I was given somewhere in the 30 percentile chance of surviving 5 years, which it's been 12. So
congratulations.
And I'm doing fine. So it was more so because I was more interested in that realm of healing, and because the other mainstream way did not make sense to me in the least. And that 36 percentile of living to 5 years, which I didn't even understand the 5-year survival rate at that point, was bananas because I was 32. At the time, I listened to many, many, many healing stories, like natural healing stories. which was very important to me to convince me that I could do it. And so one of my things was making plans for the future. So I would reach out to certain people that had podcasts or shows like cancer survivor shows. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be on your show in 2 years. Right. And they're like, no, come on now. So I started doing that, and I was like, okay, this is great. This is giving me, you know, confidence and all that stuff to keep on keeping on. And one of the things I told myself, I was like, listen, when I'm out of sort of the woods, and feeling good about things and out of my bubble, I sort of created like a tight little bubble of healing, with a small little friend group. Yeah. And I mean, especially because I was doing stuff that most people don't do. So I just didn't want anyone to question me or give me any doubt or anything like that. So I was like, I need to hunker down and I need to do my thing. And then when I come out on the other end, I'm going to write a book about it to hopefully help others. So I did. I don't love writing books, but I have an amazing sister-in-law that is a good writer and I believe made it a really great book. And I mean, the feedback that I've got from it as well has, you know, a hundredfold done what I intended to do with it. So I'm quite happy about that. I'm very passionate about health. I'm very passionate about moving and fitness and just, you know, being your healthiest self that feels as good as possible. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that I live that entirely, but I'm like, yes, for me, that's aspirational and partly current.
Yep.
What else haven't we talked about? Where can people find you? We did the gym, but on Instagram, what's your handle on Instagram?
My personal one is Jamie7Holmes. And then the Circus Fix is the Circus Fix TO. I mean, I have many Instagram handles, but those are the two.
Oh, you too have that problem. I have the problem that my last name doesn't fit. Most platforms, my first name plus my last name, it's too many letters. I'm like, oh, anyway, don't get me started. I have issues. I will just say I'm watching our time take away. Anything else that's like top of mind for you that you want to touch on before we dash out the door?
That's a hard question. I mean, we talked about stuff that I didn't think we would talk about, but I mean, I was game for a chat and we had a nice little chat, so...
Cool. I'm interested in, because we haven't talked about on mic or off, we haven't talked about your hips. I think you dropped "I'm bionic" at one point. Also another pair of TV shows that dates yourself. And my thought is like, whoa, what was it like when you realized that the recommendation was going to be, you should have your hips replaced? People are going, guys, do you guys have turn signals? What the heck?
I know, right? I'll go back a little bit because I think it plays into this whole the movement mindset thing. I hurt my ankle very badly when I was 13. Very, very badly, just like messing around in dance class. So annoying, right? But you're 13 and you sort of like just keep on keeping on. And essentially my ankle never healed in the correct position. So, you know, fast forward a few decades and I've danced professionally and I'm athletic. So if I'm not dancing, I'm doing aerial, I'm doing yoga. I was a runner for a long time. Yada, yada, yada. And I think it took its toll. I pushed my flexibility. I'm not a super flexy person. I mean, I'm more flexible than the average bear. use that one again. But, you know, the more I research into bodies and body mechanics and all that, which I'm very into right now. And I just got my Pilates certificate and I love anatomy. I feel like that's my next realm of life is to go into that because I have so many things that I'm decently knowledgeable and have the experience with. Anyways, back to the hips. My hips became very horrible in my 30s. You know, and it started tight hip, you know, always having to massage my glutes and then range decreased and decreased and decreased. And then I literally couldn't walk. Like I have a video of the last performance I did pre hip surgery and you would have never known how bad my osteoarthritis was, how bad my labrums were literally shredded. I had osteophytes everywhere. Every surgeon, because I interviewed a few surgeons before I picked my amazing surgeon that I had, and they were like, what did you do? I don't know, man. Like, I don't know.
You're going to end up in a medical journal. Oh, man, that's not a good sign, right?
Seriously. So, and I tried, when I say I tried everything, it's not like I'm like, I went to a physio and I went to I tried everything. I would go down to the States for months on end to certain clinics that I found that were doing, that were really helping people. And I had some relief, but the fact of the matter is they were gone. I had no range, and my nervous system was getting shot because of it, because I was in so much pain. So when I actually circle back to your question, when I actually finally said, okay, I need to become bionic, I was like, cut me open and replace them now. Now, like, I can't, I cannot
right
wait.
Now, 3 o'clock right now.
Yeah. And I think it was 3 months from when I had my first initial consult with my surgeon. And he said, okay, I can get you in. It's going to be a bit harder because you're doing both hips at once. But I can get you in within 3 months. And that was like horrid to me. I was like, I have to live 3 more months like this. And it wasn't just that it hurt a little bit when I walked. I couldn't move. I could not move. I was having weird panic attacks all the time because if I dropped something and had to bend over, it was, and I'm a bit of a tough cookie, but that broke me pretty hard. So when I decided to get them, I was stoked. I was like, let's do it. And when I woke up after surgery and they get you out of bed right away and I didn't have the crazy pain I had, it was very emotional, to say the least.
You literally heard the soundtrack.
Yes.
The bionic woman. Yes. Oh, terrific. So. All right. I'm just watching our time tick by. I will just say, and of course, the final question, 3 words to describe your practice.
Oh, man. And I was thinking about some words. And now that we've talked about this, I feel like I should do something about computers or admin, but I'm not. I'm going to stick to my 3 words that I feel, I don't know, maybe I try to live by things that are whatever. And I like a good alliteration. So be fierce. And that word is funny to me because I used to say that, oh my gosh, in my 20s all the time. It was obnoxious and annoying. But be fierce, whatever that means to you. Be friendly. I think that that's very important, especially in this day and age, is to be consistently friendly. And then I don't know if I want to say be fit, but I will, because I mean, that can be interpreted in any way you want. Fitness is, you know, has many ranges, many levels, and there's some elite Uber athletes and there's some people that are like, I walk 20 minutes with my dog a day. But I think it's so important for overall health and especially mental health. And yeah, so fierce, friendly, fit.
Terrific. I'm going to put in a Louis Anderson joke, which is Louis Anderson, if people don't know that, is just picture a grape. So Louis Anderson in a sweatsuit went, I'm into fitness. I fit in this. which is my way of saying, ooh, this whole episode feels like it was about perspective, about what is the right thing for me. So I'm just like, I'm already ruminating about, this is interesting. Jamie, it was a distinct pleasure. I hope people can tell. It was a distinct pleasure to talk to you while recording. Super fun pre-conversations. The more I start doing pre-calls, the more I love it because it's just an excuse to have more cool conversations with people. Thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.